Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas, a co-founder and managing director of iFirst International. Our mission is to professionalize the non-profit sector or any cause-based organization or enterprise such they're able to achieve their impact on the ground. To do that, we focus on the issues at the board and management level. Today we have with us Deepa Nambia, the director of Asylum Sex Malaysia or AAM. Welcome, Deepa.
Thank you.
Our topic for today is about capacity building. Before we go into the discussion proper, let me share with our listeners some information about your esteemed organization. Asylum Access Malaysia, or AAM, is a Malaysian registered NGO and part of the Asylum Access family of organizations. Launched in 2014, Asylum Access Malaysia's on-the-ground operations include direct legal services for refugees and asylum seekers, Know Your Option training, and engagement UNHCR and other stakeholders in Malaysia's refugee rights movement. AAM's Refugee Legal Aid Program assists refugees and asylum seekers to successfully navigate the UNHCR Refugee Status Determination, which is RSD, process, thereby improving their chances of living safely and moving freely in Malaysia. AAM has also begun capacity building activities with lawyers, universities and civil society organizations to develop a refugee legal aid network in Malaysia. Now that I've set this scene about your organization, Deepa, let me ask you. My first question is, what does capacity building mean to Asylum Access and why is it so important to your work?
So thanks for having me and thank you for that question. We generally use capacity building to refer to work that we do with external partners, but we can also talk about it in the context of internal capacity building. But it essentially means that our organization and partners are equipped with the skills, knowledge, and motivation, as well as the muscle, to be able to perform their job effectively. Internal capacity building is really aimed at ensuring that the organization is what we call resilient, which is the ability to be strong and flexible at the same time, especially in the face of a lot of change. Change is a word that we are comfortable with in the organization, but it also always presents challenges and opportunities. And so, because our organization constantly has new batches of volunteer lawyers every 6 months to a year, we are constantly in a stage where we have to build their capacity to be able to serve the mission and also to serve the clients. We also face with external challenges all the time, as you can imagine, working with refugees, government policy changes, UNHCR policy changes, shifts in refugee community leadership, demographics. And so because of all of this, we capacity building and ensuring resilience of the organization as well as external partners is really crucial to the work that we do.
So that really is an important part of your work. I notice you provide capacity building activities with many stakeholders. Is it really about their capacity or is it about their capability that one has to focus on?
So that's an interesting question, and I was pondering on it a little bit. I think it's similar in that capacity building implies improving an individual's capability or potential to be able to achieve something. And so when we look at our capacity building activities with lawyers, for example, or NGO partners, they are already doing incredible work, they are already professionals, they're familiar with a lot of aspects of the work with refugees. But by providing specific training and mentorship on refugee law, for example, on UNHCR process, we are expanding that knowledge base and that skills so that they're able to be better responsive to the needs of refugees. And so it's really, I look at it as like an expansion of their ability to do something that they're already probably equipped to do, but just better. And I work with our community-based organizations, for example. They are also doing incredible work. I mean, these are refugees themselves supporting other refugees, and so they've got their own internal structures. But what we do through mentorship and training and regular monitoring is professionalizing their ability to do it and improving the quality as well as number of people that they can reach. So we still look at it as a process that's owned by them, but we just give them the tools and the skills and the and whatever motivation that they need to be able to just do it better.
And in the end, it's basically a win-win for everyone, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
From a management perspective, going to a more of an in-house discussion, how is it you and your staff's capacity built? Is there some formal process in that you have built in within AAM to monitor and evaluate the progress and process?
Yes. So we, as I mentioned, because we have pretty small offices, 4 staff and about 5 to 6 volunteer lawyers at any one time, as well as interns. And there's always a change of guards. We have quite a thorough and extensive training and orientation program. And so that's what we start out with. They join us. We have about a 2-week training that involves a lot of practical elements of shadowing, observing the more senior lawyers. We kind of explain to them what the organizational mission is, priorities, annual plan, their job scope. We really emphasize regular learning throughout the course of the time that they're here. And so it's not just the orientation, but we're building. We're constantly giving training and information sessions. We're constantly exposing them to different elements of the work so that they're constantly, they feel like they're learning and improving throughout. And of course, they're also encouraged to attend talks and conferences and those sorts of things that will allow them to feel like the professional development element as well. So that is the orientation, ongoing learning. Another element that I think is a real benefit to our organization is that we are part of an international family of organizations. And so we have a headquarters that provides a lot of technical expertise. We've got incredible staff and advocates in other countries around the world, so in Thailand, Tanzania, Ecuador, Mexico, that are they're using the same tools to work in very different contexts, but there's a lot of sharing between organizations, and that really builds the capacity of our local staff as well to be able to be creative and try new things and experiment with new ideas, but also have a solid base in terms of what are the existing methodology that we know has been tried and tested and has worked. In terms of monitoring and evaluating the progress and process, we have an annual planning process. Every year around April, we start evaluating our past year, what we've done well, you know, what we could improve. Look at the budget, look at areas of need for refugees, and then we develop our annual plan. And so that allows us to have some sort of guidance throughout the year. It's flexible because the situation is always changing, so we do update it as we go along. But that's a starting point. And then every quarter we do quarterly reports, and so we measure our success against them. And of course, we have our headquarters that we're doing this process with, so we have this additional element of support and accountability as well. Part of the goals that we have every year includes capacity building of local, our internal organization, but also other staff. And so that is, I'm sure you know this, it's very easy to leave out that element of the work. So oftentimes NGOs are just, it feels like we're firefighting, there's a situation to deal with. And it's so easy to go with the flow without having any, without focusing on building the staff and giving them the tools and the training and the inspiration to continue doing their work. So by incorporating it into our annual planning process and our quarterly report, we just make sure we're checking on how did we do on the training program. Did we get feedback from the lawyers? What did they say? How can we improve it better? And we discuss this with our HQ as well, and then there's a sharing on their side about how the training went in Ecuador, how the training went in Tanzania. And so we're always looking to make ourselves accountable for the work that we do. And we do that in a number of ways, but also, this annual planning process is just a really helpful tool to enable us to do that.
I just want to throw in one more question to you, and that is, you were one of the early founders of Asylum Access Malaysia. Mm-hmm. What is it that you actually had? What was it necessary for you to be capacity built before you could actually take on that role?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was recruited by our headquarters that were based in the US. So I had basically remote capacity building. It was a combination. So it was remote capacity building, but it was also the exposure that I had as I started here. So I had a very thorough onboarding process, and it was really important for me in the beginning to understand what the mission of the organization was. What is the work that we are doing? The very basics. So our core program is legal services for the UNHCR RSD process and community empowerment. So what does that actually look like? And then after I got a sense of the asylum access vision and mission and our tools, then it was all on the ground. You know, I had to meet refugee communities, other NGOs, UNHCR, get a good sense of what was happening. And then after both of that happened, then I would just merge. I just merged them both. So taking into account the needs and the capacity and the resources we have in Malaysia, and what we can offer as an organization, how do we create programs that are effective and are actually solving problems. So it took a while. I was the launch director for about 8 months before we got this office space and we started providing services to clients. But it was 8 months that was much needed to be able to build the capacity and the knowledge to start serving clients. But then it's still, as it is now, it's a constant learning and capacity building process for myself.
But kudos to you. I mean, you've done a great job and I can see things are moving well. How can our listeners get in touch with the organization?
So you can see the organization's work on our website. It's www.asylumaccess.org or on our Facebook page. We are actually going to launch our Malaysia Facebook page soon. So you can look out for that in about 2 to 3 weeks. And if you want to volunteer with the organization, if you have a legal background or if you have a community empowerment background, you can definitely get in touch with us as well through our website. Or you can email us at malaysia@asylumaccess.org, or you can also call us.
Okay, great.
Thank you so much.
So thank you, Deepa, for sharing into the subject matter of capacity building. This is Dr. Sudhi Mwanda signing off with a message to our listeners to share this audio interview with others who would benefit from this full knowledge. You can check us out on www.ifirstinternational.com.